What did we focus on? It wasn't my performance. Mm-hmm. But as we worship, we began, you're worshiping God. It says this, I'm loved and I'm made pure. I have life. I can breathe.
That's
why?
Because so
you're the one that's strong. You're the one that's sure. Right. You're the one who has life. You're the one who endures. You're the one who's good. You're the one who's always true. Can you see what you're doing? Mm-hmm. You're agreeing with him. Right. You're saying, when Paul's telling them, just hang on these things that are true. The things you're hanging on is Jesus. It's like, God, this is my focus. This is my attention. This is the one who gets my mind, my heart, my agreement, my alignment. Do you notice how we just took ourselves, my yesterday, out of the picture? My failures, my whatever bad. It's like, God, I'm just going to hang on this. And the role of the Holy Spirit is to keep you focused that way. It's interesting that, and I'll get to this word here in a second, but the word righteousness, and I know we've talked about it before, the word righteousness, there's a root, one of the root words of righteousness is, and I'm not a Greek scholar, but dikai, and it literally means two parties finding their likeness in each other. Okay? Think of two people facing each other.
Righteousness.
Oh, righteousness, okay. Sorry, righteousness. The root word of righteousness has to do with two parties facing each other and finding their likeness in each other. And there's no disagreement between them. In fact, there's no tolerance for things that are coming and disrupting that. Right?
Right.
So when we celebrate our righteousness in him, we see our likeness in him. We see our agreement in him. We see our heartbeat, right? We see our mindset in him, right? So righteousness, when we just begin to discuss righteousness, it's not you performing. It's you. It's like being in him, but your agreement's in him. Right, so when we pray, you know that the place we pray from is—it's not this. Oh God, things really, really stink, and I need something to change here. What you're praying to when you pray for Willie's throat, when you pray for Sherry's heart, when you're praying for somebody's cancer, God says, "Well, here's the image of who they are, and I make them perfect." I made them well, right? So when I pray, I'm praying to that image. I'm praying to that, the perfection that he created you in, right? So we're just agreeing with what heaven says about your body. That's all we're doing. We're saying, wait a second, heaven says this about your throat. Heaven says this about Sherry's heart.
We're bringing heaven to earth.
Yes, we're just taking that reality and saying, this is what's true here.
Right. Because there's no sickness in heaven.
So when you pray, it's like all we're doing what Paul's telling them. Hey, just release this truth. This is what's truth. And don't tolerate any other voice. Right? It's like you're waking up to that reality, right? That this is kingdom. We were at lunch when we ran into you at the hospital. We had just come out of lunch. And one of the staff members at the hospital comes up and plops down at our table. Like, boom, like, I need to talk to you. And what they want to talk about is really Adolf. It's like, okay, here's what you release. Your community, your home church, your people, right? There's a kingdom reality that transcends you. And we know that about you. We know that about Adolf. And Adolf, if you don't know, is a hospital chaplain. All right, so actually has the permission to walk the halls. And so they said, we know this. Do you think he would come and pray for a member of her staff? So she just saying, hey, here's what I see going on in this staff person. and I think, and they need healed. And I thought, well, how cool is that? You're actually this aura, this presence, this person you carry is known,
right?
The ability, the willingness to speak miracles over sickness and death, right, is known. So it's like, and then I said, hey, he'll be all over it. He would love to do that. And they said, well, in fact, I've got more people I think that would like the prayer. He can use my office, and we'll coordinate it, and he can pray for people in there.
Because your Thursdays just got busier.
So I thought that's cool. It's like, wow, it's what you carry is known. And so there's, that's so cool. So I wanted to carry.
That's what I miss about the well, Danny.
Well, now you're bringing the well to the hospital.
Paul, remember when I told you a couple weeks ago that the gospel is always, it's calling you out. The gospel is waking you up to who you are. The gospel of Jesus Christ, what Jesus came to speak is Jesus said, oh, you need to know him as Father like he does. You need to know him as Father like I do. And you need to know how valued you are as his child, as his son and daughter, right? So the gospel that Jesus presents is it's waking up to our identity, who he is and who we are, right? And by the way, that's singular. If you want to talk, you want to talk about salvation and all the activity of church and fellowship, that's the game plan right there. That we would wake up to know who we are as sons and daughters of Father, of King, right? And the authority we walk in. So it's no mistake that the enemy's single focus is to distract you from that, to lie to you about that, to get in the way of that, to disrupt, right? That's why righteousness, God says, wake up to your righteousness, seeing yourself in him,
right?
That you're in his image. And the enemy's like, what's he wanna do? Get you to turn from that, to hide that from you, to shield you, right? And his masterful plan is to use fear, right? So like a doctor report. Right? If a doctor comes in and says, oh, it's really, really, really bad, just did your blood test, oh my gosh, what did he just distracted you. Mm-hmm. He just put fear in your heart. By the way, fear's not from him, right? Mm-hmm. That's easy. Fear's not from him, so he just distracted you. And he got his foot in the door. And the question is, what are you going to do with that?
Right.
Do we sit here and partner with it? We're pretty good at that. Like, oh my gosh, I need another doctor, oh, I need another test, oh my gosh, and amplify that in finances and in your relationships
and the thinking
and so all these areas of life. So how you're doing with your bills, how you're doing with your money, how you're doing with your love life, how you're doing with your physical conditions. And then we have to we respond to it, and we just pour fear in it, and we get distracted, we get focused. All he wants to do is go, put your eyes on you and sit here and soak in the terror of being you,
right?
And that's what he does.
Yeah.
And so what Jesus says is, no, just keep your eyes. That's why we see this language, keep your eyes on me. Just look at me. And Paul's telling the early church, don't look behind. Don't be distracted by that old man. Don't look at those, because that's the enemy playing a game with you, trying to get you out of, wow, God, just speak what's true to my heart. Show me you. Show me your love. Show me your endurance. Show me your strength. Show me your supply. Show, right? And so I told you, I said, so what sin is when we just let fear just rush in and we partner with fear. We agree with fear. Fear's lying to you about who you are. It's lying to you about your condition. It's lying to you about your strength. It's lying to you about your authority. It's lying to you about your value, your worth. It's lying to you about being in family. It's lying to you about your connection to Him. Fear, right? So that's what sin is. Sin is just, if I could just get between the face-off between you and God, that enjoyment of being in Him, sin gets in the way, okay? And what Paul is telling them is like, look, when I say just soak on these things that are true and we just enjoy being loved by Him, we learn that this place of acceptance, this place of being a son, being a daughter, being powerful, being healed, is when we just let love in the door. So sin is I let fear in, and it talks to me. My emotions drive my identity. And sonship, right, being in Him, it's like when I let love come in and speak to me, right? So that's where we kind of like let off in this thing. Adolf's right. It really is. The battle's always been here, right?
Because what we think about is what we're going to empower.
Right.
And so His, because He really has no power over us, what we come in agreement with, we're going to empower. So if we're thinking about all the bad stuff, guess what we're doing?
So let's put ourselves in you're in the doctor's office. You're in the hospital. You're in ICU. And the doctor comes in and says, oh, bad news. Right? Here's what happened. Here's what we're seeing. And you're like, oh. Immediately you feel your heart rate up. You might be anxious or scared. And you're, I don't know what to do. Right? And when we turn onto that, right? It's what Adolf just said. When we focus on that, we've empowered a lie. Mm-hmm. We've come into an agreement with the lie. Because God says, I've never given you a spirit of fear. Mm-hmm. In fact, in Timothy, He says, I've never given you a spirit of fear, but I've given you a sound mind and love and a sound, right? So He says, I've given you peace. Right? So fear is never from Him. So when we come into agreement with fear, when we embrace that anxiety, we just empower the enemy. Mm-hmm. Right? When we do those things, it stops that renewing of our mind. Because our journey together is we're learning to agree with heaven. We're learning to say, this is what's true. And every day we're doing this, right? Every morning we wake up. You're challenged, you're poked in your heart, you're irritated, somebody throws an offense at you, and we're challenged by how do I react to this knucklehead person? How do I react to this bad letter or bad email I got? How do I react to the bill, right? And so every morning, we're challenged by those kinds of things. And so every morning, God tells us, just look to me. Just focus on me. Partner with these things that are true. Because when we focus on the problems, right, we're agreeing with the enemy and we're literally denying the power of God. You're literally stopping it.
I was remembering when I went in the hospital, and he didn't let me fall in that direction.
Well, so we're like, look, it's like it's. And you, when I have a condition or some issue in my life today, whatever that is, what's feeding it? Is fear feeding it or is love feeding it?
Right.
Really?
Can I say something? Yeah. Well, just on like what you were alluding to when you went to the hospital and you kept having ministry encounter after encounter with different people. They were getting healed or blessed or prayed for, ministered, a number of things.
And I'm laying in a gurney.
Right. You're the one in there up to the EKG machine. And I just like the mindset, though, that when we encounter all these things, Danny's saying, bad, whatever, negative, any of that, like if we can begin to train ourselves to view that as, oh, God, what opportunity do you have for me here?
You know, I got a flat tire. I'm in the middle of the desert. I'm by myself. What opportunity do you have for me here? And I think that when that's our mindset and our expectation, we draw those things into our environment.
Well, he was presented with a choice.
Yeah.
He could have said, excuse me, but I'm the one who's
right.
here with the condition.
Right.
So he could have said, no, I don't want to pray for that other person. I want to focus
right.
on me. But instead he was like, yeah, okay, I'll pray for the other person. Like, he made the choice.
Right.
Yes, I'll do it. Right.
So I told you, and I'll jump to it real quick, but last time I said, okay, so when this a thing pops up in your life today, big or small, and I have a response I'm going to make to it, right? I'm either going to be irritated by it, I'm going to be distracted by it, or I'm going to say, no, this is what's true, right? I told you, I said, there's how you respond sort of tells you what's feeding it, right?
Right, what you're feeding on.
Okay, so if I respond to how I dealt with it, maybe a doctor's report or how I dealt with a conflict at the office, right? Did it leave me feeling anxious? Did it leave me feeling ashamed? Did I feel guilty? Maybe I felt condemned, maybe, right? And sometimes we'll look at those conditions and say, well, it must be the Holy Spirit's conviction because I was crying and I felt really, really horrible about it. Perhaps, but I would just suggest to you, God would never devalue you.
Right.
Right.
He's never going to say you're worth less.
To teach you a lesson.
Right. So,
right.
So one of the things that Paul is sharing with the early church is that right there. It's like, look. You can tell it when you look at Galatians 5. He says, look, how you responded to that situation should look like Jesus. There should be true conviction, true repentance, by the way, which is, you know, your response to those circumstances, right? True repentance will look like the fruit of Jesus. It will look. You'll never have to devalue yourself or talk horrible about you, right, when you're dealing with a situation. So if you're like, if you were did something stupid with somebody, said something really bad, you know, one repentance would look like, God, there's no way you would have said that about them. And so I didn't reflect you.
Oh.
And so I just want to come into agreement with what how you would have, you know, so repentance is changing. It is saying, I wasn't responding like you. Repentance is saying, I wasn't in your image in that moment,
right.
Right? But what I'm agreeing with is not, I'm a horrible person, but God, you created me to be more. You created me to look just like you.
Right.
So I'm making a decision today to be, walk just like you, right? Because make no mistake about it, just like this staff person at the hospital who came and said, oh, good, you're here. And they said, Adolf, we need this. Can you talk to Adolf? We need this. Because how you respond to situations, there's the, how am I doing today? But your choice there impacts her and him and her and her.
Right.
Your choice is impacting others, right? Just as much as you're learning to agree with heaven about who you are, how you steward that response,
right,
is impacting how they see themselves,
right,
and how they choose who they are,
right?
Right. So this thing, this, you get it? Yes. Align me with heaven and my mission in life, my activity in life, when God said the Great Commission, go do these things, is now and help them align with heaven.
Yeah.
Right? Here's who you are and here's who they are. Right? So I want to read to you out of Matthew chapter 18. Right? And you're probably very familiar with it, Matthew 18, starting in verse 23. Because Jesus is, do you remember when Jesus, many times in the Gospels, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like this. What's he doing? He's telling them, you've been in this other reality, and I'm gonna use stories and activity, and I'm gonna share with you, but this is the reality you're called to. So many, many times in scripture, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like, right? And we begin to, he's unleashing this other reality for us, right? So he says this, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion. He released him and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, right? So he had a huge debt that was forgiven, and then he has this small one with his other servant that says, you owe me this, right? He laid hands on him, and it says he took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not. But he went and he threw him in the prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant. By the way, wicked servant. The term wicked, he's telling him, it's a fun word to study. He's like, that's not who you are. Right? It wasn't a statement of like, you corrupt evil. It's like he's saying, you're acting out of character. This is a broken you. This is a broken mold. This is not who you are, right? You wicked servant. I forgave all that debt because you begged me. Should you not have also had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. And it goes on to say, so my heavenly Father will do to you if each of you from his heart doesn't forgive his brother's trespasses. You have a choice. We step into this agreement of this reality, this kingdom truth, right? Where we walk in this totally infused by his love. If we, our other choice is we walk in one filled with fear, right? Our journey that Holy Spirit's taking us on is to step into this kingdom, right? And Paul says, don't even look back at this other one. That's not you, right? Focus on who you are in him, right? So when I do this and I flip this way and say, but you owe me, you offended me, you hurt me, you angered me, you owe me, right? Look, when that offense or when that insult or that grievance becomes larger than the price that Jesus paid, right? Because Jesus gave everything to release me from that lie, sin, right? The mask of fear covering me and lying to me about who I am. He paid everything to release you from that. So when we conclude that wasn't enough, I accept I'm going to take this. Guess what reality we're left with?
Right.
We're one consumed by fear. Romans says one that only leads to death. Totally disoriented, totally broken, totally disconnected, right? Fear-filled, right? And when the price that Jesus paid for that breaking is like not enough, it's you empowering the lie. It's you agreeing with the enemy again, right? Stops the renewing of our mind. It stops the seeing like heaven sees. It stops the believing like heaven believes. Right? So our alignment, our agreement, our walking powerfully as sons of God, our major, this major step of living in this miraculous, abundant life is learning to just agree with, here's who he is as Father, and here's who I am as Son. And we just need to stop being concerned about our faults, mm-hmm. our failures.
Right.
We stop being concerned about every mistake we've made, right? And we begin to just focus on this journey of conforming to Christ instead of our, it's like, am I gonna let love form me or fear form me, right? My focus is like, I'm just going to focus on being conformed by him, right? Yeah. One of the things I told you that I was always terrified by a neighbor telling my mom and dad that I wasn't being good or I was a bad kid or, you know, whatever, because my parents cared about this image that everything looked good at home, that and we're really good at wearing masks mm-hmm. to hide our imperfections, to hide our mistakes. If the gospel message is all about us coming to agreement with how loved we are, mm-hmm. right? The gospel message is all about knowing him as Father and knowing us, who we are. It's all driven by how loved we are. Anytime we struggle with that love and think, I've got to do something over here to fix something, I got to pick up this old thing. Manipulation as a tool, deceit's a tool, anger's a tool, right? Anytime we do that, we end up putting like a mask on. If I could just not let you see that I've got this stuff I'm dealing with. What are the dangers of wearing a mask? When I say wearing a mask, do you know what I mean? It's like, I just don't want anybody to see that I'm struggling with how much he loves me. And so we hide it, right? And
you
Jesus,
can't
that's, mm. I mean, that's a very,
First thing I thought.
That's a deep
yeah,
thought
like
right
smothered
there.
Or
he said, you can't breathe, you're smothered. What are, when we try to put on this image, it says, I'm okay, don't worry about me, but really I'm just hiding this fact of, I'm still struggling with how much he loves me. Mm-hmm. What are some other dangers of wearing a mask? Trying to hide.
You can't see. You don't have very good peripheral vision.
Yeah, you don't have good peripheral vision. What else?
Where you're living in the wrong place. Because really we're supposed to be living from heaven to earth. And how are you going to stand in that place where you're reinforcing everything that he says you are, is you're going to be living from a higher place. If you don't live in that higher place, I mean, we're here on earth, but really our real home, our real habitation is heaven. And so that's what we need to learn how to live in heaven, but be here at the earth at the same time. Because Jesus did that.
What else? What are some other dangers of trying to like hide from? It
makes you a liar.
It makes you a liar. Right,
get tired
makes you. It's exhausting mm-hmm. because you're constantly trying to like cover up something, right? So, all these situations in life, again, whether that's a moral failure, a relational conflict, mm-hmm. like you're just, well, that person just can't stand that person, and then I go over here and go, oh, aren't they wonderful, right? Because I don't want you to think that I can't deal with this, or I don't know. All of those things, you know what you're doing? Instead of being over here soaked in his love, instead of over here representing kingdom, we're actually over here. Although we think we're over there, we've got this face, false face on, we're actually just pretenders, mm-hmm. right? That are still stuck in this place of fear. The reality is that God's... His love is perfect, right? Scripture tells us it never changes. There's a, where is it where it says there's no, it never, there's no shifting shadow, right? It's, he is continually like beaming on you. He is continually approving and pouring into you and releasing his value over you. He's never in the corner talking to one of the angels or somebody else going, oh, poor Willie, she's really. I know she thinks she's good, but I don't know. All he's ever saying is what heaven says about you. All heaven has one voice about you. The Father is saying these things. It's what we sang in our worship this morning about your life and your endurance and your goodness, right? And so we're waking up to that truth. And I think one of the things I enjoy so much about being family like this is I don't want to be one who hides anymore. I don't, you know, when I have like a disruption, right? Like this staff person, by the way, didn't come and say, oh, Danny's here. they came and said, oh, Adolf, right? I don't say that to beat myself up, but here's what I know. He's embraced the truth about healing more than I have. Mm-hmm. He has no fear about praying for healing for somebody's arthritis or somebody's cancer. For me, I'm still learning to choose it mm-hmm. on a daily basis and be a risk taker. Sometimes I'm afraid of, well, what if God doesn't show up? Mm-hmm. Anybody like that? Mm-hmm. It's like I'm intimidated by praying sometimes. He's not, mm-hmm. right? So I could say, oh, all the time, but it's not true. I know that God has a work to do on me about, I'm learning to shake my fears, I'm learning to take risk, I'm learning to be bold in who I am, and I need Adolf in my life to help me, not because I want to hand my assignment over to Adolf, but because I need to be impacted by who Adolf is.
Right.
You see that? Right? So I'm learning to wake up, and guess what? There's things in you that the person next to you doesn't have. It may be about compassion. It may be about your wisdom. It may be about your generosity. It may be about how you love. And so being in fellowship with each other, if we're transparent and we'll allow it, we'll allow ourselves to be impacted by each other and touched by each other, it's like who you are in his image, it's like, wow, I'm being made better because of you, right? So the lie of the guy up at the microphone who's at the pulpit, so to speak, is the only guy. It's like, no. It's like we're growing from each other. And like your strength that you have, like, you're firm. This is who I am in Christ, right? I need that. Each of us need that. And so we're chiseling ourselves. We're learning how to get rid of lies, right? So I'm just going to end with some scripture for you, just a few verses, and I'll let you go. Because God says his love is perfect. Jesus tells us that, you know, that it says in Psalms, he's not weighing your sin against you. He's not counting it against you.
Wow.
Psalms 103 tells us that. It says, your iniquities, he's not, God does not have a set of scales in heaven going, whoa, Adolf, like, right? He's not weighing you. God is not look just as much as he tells you, look at him, see your completeness in him, find yourself in him. He's obeying the same rules. He's
right.
Living, and he doesn't step out of reality of heaven and go, well, let's go over here and look at how bad you were. Right? Right? So God, heaven is not weighing your sin against you. That'll shake up the church. Right? Now, yeah.
Sin is like a fish being out of water. Really?
It's true. You were created, but the translation of that thought is like, look, you were made for this reality, not this one. This is the fish out of water.
Right.
Right? You come alive here. The lie, the culture lie, the enemy lie is this is all there is, and you don't even begin to think that you belong over there. Right? So, all right, here we go. Just a couple thoughts, because we sang about it in this second song about we sang about him being our resource. We sang about him being our strength. We sang about him being our life. right? So here you go. Because we were, for those places that we believed lies about, I'm not good enough, I'm stuck here, I don't have enough, right? Scripture has an answer for every one of those. So I'm just going to call out a couple of them. Because for those ones who say, I just don't have something to offer, I don't have, you know, they need someone with wisdom to speak here. They need someone who's got some depth of this ministry life in them to respond. And God says, into that place of emptiness inside of you, I have made you full and complete. Listen to this. Colossians 2, 9 and 10 says this. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him.
So good.
Right?
Mission water.
Did you get that?
Right.
That means if, wow, God's got wisdom and God says, guess what? So do you.
Right.
God's got love. Guess what? So do you. Right? Because of him, the fullness of him is in you. And he's the head of all principality and power.
Right.
Right? So you, whatever you, that agreement of, I have some kind of emptiness here, I don't have enough, he says, uh-uh, that's a lie.
Right.
Right? It's a lie we're partnering with. When he says, I love you, this is part of him loving us, right? How about this thing about, I don't have enough? The enemy gets you on that. There's a sense of a deficit or a lack, right? Philippians 4:19 says this, and my God shall supply all your need. According to what?
His riches
in glory by Christ Jesus. He just said you have full access to the warehouses of heaven for your need.
Right.
Right? So because he loves you so much, he says you get access to the warehouse of heaven. Right? How about this thing we talked about? We find our life in him. Right? So life isn't just, don't think of it necessarily as just this, I'm breathing, now I'm in the ground, right? Life, when Scripture talks of life, it's like one is born out of fear, and it's like tormented life, and one is like abundant life, right? We've talked about this eternal, like life of substance and power and authority, right? It's not one that's weakened and inferior, right? He says this in Ephesians 2, 1 through 6. And you, he made alive. You were dead in trespasses and sin. You had the blinders on. You didn't know who you were, right? In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Do you see it? He says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were in that place, which he calls dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together in Christ. And he raised us up together. And he made us to sit together in heavenly places. Right? Your portion is not one here that's inferior and weak and always waiting for the other shoe to fall. He said, no, you're vibrant and full and alive. You have a response here. Right? Boom. Right? So all of a sudden you went, okay. Okay? How about this one? The other lie of love is this disconnection. Right? We're separated from him. I can't be close to him. Right? The word the Bible speaks to this is reconciliation, right? He says this in Romans 5, verse 10 and 11. For if when we were enemies, you were still over here, thinking this way, stuck and confused. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life? Right? And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, even before you woke up, God said, I reconciled you. I went to the cross for you before you had any awareness of it, I think, oh my gosh, that's so cool, right? And lastly, this one, we think, okay, here's who you are, here's who I am, this thought of just perfect love. I can't grasp perfect love because I'm an imperfect person. I've got all, right? And the enemy lies to you about all your imperfections, right? He's going to try to beat you up about that. 1 John 4:7-10 says this, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God, knows God. They're basically saying, this is the reality you're walking in, right? He who does not love doesn't know him. They don't know God, for God is pure love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Which one was that?
That was 1 John 4:7-10. Mm-hmm. So we're on a journey together. We're waking up, right? He said, know who I am, know who you are. The conduit is perfect love. So we're learning how to walk in this. And my assignment is to steward that and to help you wake up to who you are and you wake up to who Father is, right? So with that, I'll stop. It's like, I love how when scripture, when you start to get, when you get the lens for it, when you start to see why Jesus, what is Paul talking about to the early church, and you start to realize, wow, he's showing me how to be me. He's like, we're waking up to who we are in his image.
And that's a song.
Huh?
I gotta be me. I gotta be me.
Oh. All right, so Father, we just say right now, your Holy Spirit is tutoring us. You're teaching us. You're revealing inside of us. You're creating opportunities around us. So we invite perfect love to win today.
Yes.
God, you win our arguments in our head. You win the situations in our home. You're revealed in the marketplace and at our work assignments. God, perfect love. Come do your work in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.